share with you my story. Would you share your dollar with me?
It is 12:11. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch on WGN. Hi, I'm John Williams. Pete Zimmerman is your producer, and lots of numbers and news today, of course, what with the announcement that Pfizer says they have a 90% effective vaccine, a number nobody anticipated. Hopefully all of that news is true and is as good as it seems to be. So let's start with Elise Glink today, the real estate and financial wellness expert. She joins us on Mondays at this time. You can always follow her at thinkglink.com. Pete, you've got her punched up, all potter up, and welcome to the show, Elise. Welcome back.
Thanks, John. Nice to be here.
I said pot her up. That's a broadcast term, but pot stocks, marijuana, cannabis, are up significantly, like 10% across that group or sector, because maybe not so much because of the vaccine, but because a lot of states voted to legalize cannabis in the election, and maybe there's just a good feeling in the air. I don't know.
I think that the change in leadership at the top is causing all kinds of interesting reactions today in the stock market. So you've already mentioned the vaccine. This is huge news. And I think that Biden was set up to have a really wonderful first opening day on the stock market anyway. There was a lot of energy behind his becoming president-elect. And I think that there was a feeling that he would take COVID seriously, and that people would be able to, you know, get through this. What nobody expected was, to your point, Pfizer's incredible announcement that this vaccine they're working on, that they're ready to release or almost ready to release, has a 90% effective rate, which is very high. And just point out, we've never in the history of medicine, to my knowledge, created a vaccine like this in 8 months. It's just incredible. Normally, vaccines take 8 to 10 years,
yeah.
And the technology has just been amazing. So there's a lot of energy there for it.
A German company partnering with Pfizer. And, you know, it's funny, though, isn't it, that I talked to two doctors this morning from Northwestern Medicine, and they were as enthusiastic as can be, but they said they want to wait a couple of months before the final results come in before they would be enthusiastic about taking it. I want to make one more point about that. It's not going to be available to you and I for at least 2 months anyway, so the fact that they're a little hesitant right now doesn't mean when it becomes available we should be. By then, they hope, most of their concerns will be answered, and when it's available to the general public, we should all take it as readily as it is available. That's the expectation, but there was a little sort of resistance in their voice right now, pending a little more information, at least.
Well, I feel, John, that this goes back to this idea that how quickly have we created all of these vaccines? This is one of a dozen around the world that have been created, all of them slightly different, based on different kinds of technology. But the fact that we're able to even talk about a vaccine for this and a cure for this pandemic, I think, is what really has lit the, you know, Wall Street on fire today. And I'm sure Orion talked about this with the Dow hitting record highs, S&P all the way up today, even NASDAQ doing great. In fact, it just went over the 12,000 mark. It's just sort of a remarkable response to the events of really what were a remarkable week last week.
I'm going to talk to Tom Fortino a little more about this after I visit with you. I'm surprised that the market has that much upside left in it, because I thought the market was anticipating this anyway, but look at that. AMC up 80%, the movie theater chain. Clorox down 8%. Zoom down 15%. The retail index is up 2%. Teladoc is down. Airlines are up. You can just see how this news is sort of filtering through the markets, can't you?
You can. And it is really interesting to see what the betting is that's basically going on right now on Wall Street, where somebody's going to be, up or down. Are we going to be doing more travel? I think the expectation is yes.
And just give me a little information about the labor market and what we are seeing there trend-wise, Elise.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's interesting. Last week was sort of a remarkable time in the labor markets, because we while we saw, you know, more positive news on the unemployment numbers, the U.S. economy added 638,000 jobs in October. The rate, the unemployment rate, fell down to 6.9%, which is great. It's down a full percentage point from September. But a third of all people unemployed in the labor market have been unemployed for at least 27 weeks. So there are about 12 million jobs missing from where we were in February, but 55% of the jobs that were lost in March and April have not returned. And so what we are looking at now are people who have been unemployed for an extraordinary point, extraordinary amount of time, relatively speaking, more than half a year, and that makes them long-term unemployed, and now their jobless benefits are running out. The good news about the election is that I think that we're going to see a very quick stimulus package come about, and Joe Biden has already made it a priority to pick up the phone and try to start making things happen so that people don't have to wait till January 20th to get some more money in their hands.
Elise Glink, real estate financial wellness expert, owner of Think Glink Media. Visit thinkglink.com. Thanks, Elise.
You bet, John.
It's 1221. Tom Fortino is the founder and principal at Alpha Wealth Group. Visit alphawealthgroup.com. Tom, thanks for coming into the studio today.
Well, thanks for having me.
What's your reaction to this market news today?
Well, it's good. I mean, I'm happy it's up. You know, this is something I don't know if anyone could have anticipated. I know we kept saying maybe the end of the year there was a lot of dollars, but when it actually happens, and I know you'd asked the question earlier, is this an overreaction? It's kind of, I don't know. I want to say, how is it? It's hard to overreact to something so incredible that's happening now. And so it's here. It looks like it's here at least. I don't want to get ahead of our skis, but
it being that Pfizer.
The
vaccine.
Pfizer. Yep.
The Dow is right now at 29.6. That's up 4.7%, up 1,300 points. The rest of the indices are up similarly. We're talking about all-time highs on some of these.
We are. NASDAQ, S&P, Dow today. The Dow could actually end up at all-time high today.
It might close there. Well,
yep.
And it started at 1,500 up. Now it's 1,200. It's been trading around there. Now it's up 1,343 right now. So it's stayed in that range.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that some, though, of the news of an anticipated vaccine had already sort of been factored into the market.
I think a little bit of that was happening, but again, until that day really comes and it's like reality smacks you in the face, I think this kind of just catapulted it. There was a lot of good news, but this really, again, now that it's actually happened, that made all the difference.
Do you think it helps that it was coincident with the election results over the weekend?
Absolutely. I mean, if you see, again, we were talking about this earlier, the trend was up, up, up. This is actually the best post-week return, I think, in over, close to 100 years.
But it was good. The markets were good after Donald Trump was elected 4 years ago. I don't have him in front of
they
me.
Were.
Maybe, Pete, you can pull him up. Everybody remembers that that night the futures collapsed, but the next day the market was there. It was not a calamity.
Yeah. This has outperformed that, and there's reasons for that. I mean, it makes sense. Right? Because this blue wave didn't occur, which means the whole tax, as I said, I think two of the biggest impact, or from a tax standpoint, the two of the taxes we talked about, corporate tax rates, which were reduced to 21%, are not now going to be increased.
But I think that's so interesting. So Joe Biden should not take credit for this. Rather, it's almost the opposite of that. It's that there wasn't a blue wave that the market is doing well today.
I agree with that statement. You know, capital gains tax. I mean, think about this. They were talking about increased capital gains tax. That's 40% from a 15% base rate right now. So if you own a stock, and let's say you own some of these stocks that like the Pelotons, and you say, I want to sell this stock, or some of these are up, you have to pay 40%. And that's true on real estate.
You would.
I'm sorry. You would have had to. So think about how that would have impacted the market as we're coming up to the end of year.
You're saying that, Tom, as though that was a... How do you know that?
How do I know?
How do you know that it would go up to 40%?
Well, that's what they said they were going to do.
Maybe they would, but then if the Senate falls and then you have all three houses, all three groups, the House and the Senate and the executive branch, then maybe the market would react differently then.
I agree with that statement completely.
Really? So
yes, I do.
Say the Senate had gone blue.
Yep.
then you think the market would be down today, or at least pre-Pfizer announcement, you don't think it would have been up 500?
I don't think it would have been up as much. I mean, you can go back to 2008 when Barack Obama was elected, and he actually raised the cap gains rate on higher earners to 20%. In fact, with the Medicare rate, it was almost 24%. And you saw a lot of selling, and that's pressure on the market to realize the cap gains at the lower rate. Now we were talking upwards of 40%.
No. Do you think it would go that much? I mean, that does seem to be, I'm going to say, counterproductive. But I don't even know that I believe that, but just entertain that thought for a moment. If it's that counterproductive, then why would the Congress do that?
You know, that's a great question. I wish I could answer that. I think maybe some of them don't think it's counterproductive. They think, you know, there's that.
And I believe that lowering, well, I just know this because I've heard it the last few days, that lowering the capital gains, that those tax bills that you were talking about in 2017, I believe 2017 was the year?
When they changed the tax with the Tax Act, yes.
Some people feel that Democrats gave up too much on that, that they gave away too much, that in fact maybe the rates should be higher. The same way maybe the argument was held in Illinois about a graduated income tax.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe some companies or some people should be paying more right now.
Well, I'm of the mind, I'm more of a free market, because I think it ultimately helps everybody when corporations are able to keep more of their money. I mean, that's my belief. When I look at a business, if you increase taxes, if you increase regulations, by the way, regulations is a whole nother discussion.
Yeah, no kidding.
Okay. But when you do that, does that help or hurt a business? Well, of course, it doesn't help, I don't think. I think it's very simple when we start to look at some of these things.
Would you be willing to make the trade then that we're making these technology stocks are really what we're holding up a lot of the market. Now it seems to be broader based. Retail is doing better. Travel is doing better. Movie theaters are doing better. Airlines are having a very good day today. But Netflix is down, right?
It is.
I mentioned Peloton earlier.
Zoom.
Teladoc.
Facebook.
So the technology stocks are doing, because we're going to be less dependent upon them in the way we've been in the last 6 months.
Well, the stay-at-home stocks. So Apple is up. There's other technology stocks. I think long term, when you look at, there's 11 sectors in the S&P, right? I think 5 or 6 of them have been positive year to date. So when we talk about energy being up today, hey, that's great. That's one day. It's down 50% year to date, right? So we have to be, when we're looking at our portfolios, we have to understand what are we owning. I think technology long term is still going to be a good play.
What do you think about oil stocks or that sector? Is it that generally the higher the price of crude or oil or gasoline, for that matter, the better the economy is doing, right? Is that the way those work?
There's a tipping point, right, where if it gets too heavy, because keep in mind, everything we get, transportation, the food we pick up at the grocery store, anywhere we go, transportation related, and it relies on the price of fuel. So that's a cost to them. So we kind of have to weigh the two. But right now, if energy does increase, that's a positive, because, you know, now you're going to tap more drilling is going to take place. More wells are going to go, because there's profit to be made, which means employment goes up. So it's interesting. There's a balance there.
None of this means anything to me if I don't have a job right now.
That's a good, yeah. That's
I wonder when that's going to, when is this going to trickle down to that? When is all of this good news about the markets and all that stuff going
I agree.
To put people back to work or get them more money per hour?
You know, that is really kind of the crux of it, right? These people that are not working right now. Look, you know, nobody would have, I shouldn't say nobody, almost nobody would have predicted. You looked at all the prognosticators, 10% unemployment rate by the end of the year. That's the best we're going to do. We're at 6.9. So they were off for sure. The Fed was way off. All of these people were way off. So we're making this recovery. I think if there's a stimulus plan to help people, I think we agree on that. We talked about that before. Let's help some of these people out, and I think over the course of the next 6 months or so, we can start to build back up.
I wonder if this dampens some of the enthusiasm for the Democrat version of unemployment supplements or stimulus. Maybe it'll be less necessary now if the natural economy is able to recover a little on its own.
I think it will be. I think it is, and I think that makes sense. I wish they were more targeted. I wish they would, you know, instead of spending a bunch of money in areas it's not necessary, but I don't know if they'll be able to do that.
Do you think that number that you're talking about, 6.9 unemployment rate, is that real? I mean, how many people are not looking right now?
It is real because, two, the labor participation rate has gone up, which means there's more people looking for jobs. Now, those are two really good signals. When your participation rate goes up and your unemployment comes down.
I normally ask you to talk about people's personal finances. I haven't today, Tom. If they do want to reach out to you and talk about their personal finances, alphawealthgroup.com?
Alphawealthgroup.com.
Man knows his stuff. Alphawealthgroup.com. Tom Fortino is the founder and principal there. Whew. Nice of you to come in today, my friend.
Thank you for having me.
Good to see you in the studio. It's 12:30. Time for WGN Radio News. Still to come, Catherine Davis, the associate editor at Chicago Inno, on the cutting edge of technology companies in Chicago, and Amy Guth, who follows the airline industry. That's all coming up on the Wintrust Business Lunch. Catherine Davis joins us regularly on WGN Radio. She is the associate editor at Chicago Inno. Catherine, welcome back to the show.
Hi, John. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. Let's talk a little bit about how the markets are doing and how some companies in Chicago are doing these days. Talk to me about Ballot Ready first, a company that has something to do with elections, right?
That's right, yeah. Ballot Ready, they're a local startup that has roots at the University of Chicago. And essentially they make a voter information platform that gives users info about all the candidates on the ballot. You know, usually in big elections, people know who they're voting for president, and other big roles. But, you know, when it comes to local judges and more local appointments, Ballot Ready really wants to sort of be the resource for giving you information on these candidates and their political leanings and ideology. This year, they said that they helped about 50 million people make decisions this election. And, you know, it's just really interesting to see them grow. They're about 3 or 4 years old now, and it started with the founder just sort of making her own sort of voter guide for herself. And, you know, she realized it was useful and that it could be useful to other people as well. And now Ballot Ready serves voter guides in all 50 states.
I did not use that app this year, but if I had gone into a polling place, I presume I could have tapped Chicago, Illinois, my precinct, and had information. Is that how it works?
Yeah, so this is something that ideally you're using at home before you actually go to your polling place. You know, you can sort of fill out a mock ballot and select the people you want to vote for and then take it with you to the polling place so you can make sure you get every selection right. This isn't something you access at the polls, though. If that makes sense.
It doesn't recommend candidates, does it?
No, it doesn't recommend candidates. It's not partisan, but it you know, the main purpose is that it's providing information via, you know, local news outlets and other resources that give you a good idea of their political leanings and ideology.
Yeah, and it's called Ballot Ready, Ballot Ready, Chicago startup. I'm glad to hear that they are out there. Of course, people could have used that app before the election, and they did. Talking about it now maybe doesn't do you as much good as it will maybe in the next election, obviously. But I'm thinking about judges, because when you go in there, there's a lot of times down ballot issues or names that you just don't know enough about, and you hate that you're so ill-informed. If I had easy access to this information or easier access to this information, it would probably make us all more informed, better voters, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that's really the mission with Ballot Ready. You know, the idea is that giving people more information on candidates up and down the ballot allows for, you know, better, I think, voter turnout and participation, and also people making more informed decisions because, you know, I'm sure there are the cases where people are in the polling place, they're voting, they don't recognize a name, and they guess or they leave it blank, right?
Yeah,
so Ballot Ready really wants to avoid those kinds of circumstances in the future.
You wrote a story, it's titled, "This Speech Improvement App Wants to Be the Fitbit for Your Voice." Talk to me a little bit about this company.
Yeah, so this is a new company called Speako, and essentially they want to help users improve their public speaking skills. So I don't know about you. I mean, you're, you know, a seasoned radio host. I'm sure you don't have a lot of public speaking anxiety, but I struggled with this a lot early in college and early on in my career. You know, it can be scary getting up in front of a group of people and speaking. And this new startup, they've developed a software where you can record yourself while giving a presentation or a speech or, you know, even on a Zoom meeting. And it will give you feedback using artificial intelligence that'll give you suggestions on talking pace and word choice and patterns and how clear you're speaking as well. So we profiled them last week because they recently won the Alumni New Venture Challenge at University of Chicago. The first prize for that is $75,000. They're going to use that to continue growing and ramping up their user base.
I wonder how sophisticated that can get. I know people that use the word so when they start a sentence, or some of us throw in too many or it's likes or I goes. And I wonder.
Right, I think I'm guilty of all those.
I was guilty of one of those about 40 seconds ago. So will it catch those and then flag those for me?
Yeah, essentially, you know, the idea here is really to take out those filler words, you know, make sure you're speaking at a pace that's understandable for people. And it also gives you word choice suggestions so you can be more inclusive. So as opposed to saying you guys, the app might suggest saying you all. Hmm. So different suggestions like that
Let's change your skills. Let's change subjects because I'm now so super conscientious about every word coming out of my mouth. I'm quite nervous about going any further. Chicago Tech founder subject in new documentary from Hoop Dreams director Steve James. There's a doc coming out. Talk about that.
Yeah, so the new documentary is called City So Real. It's a National Geographic documentary, but it's streaming on Hulu. It was released last week. And Neil Solis Griffin is one of the subjects in it. He's the managing director of Techstars and a VC here in town, but he also ran for mayor in 2018. And so the documentary follows that mayoral race where Lori Lightfoot was elected. And if you remember, that was also the time when the Laquan McDonald and Jason Van Dyke trial was happening. So it's a really interesting documentary that, you know, follows just politics and social justice in Chicago. And it was interesting that a prominent tech guy here in Chicago was included in it as well.
Hmm. The name of that movie again is?
City So Real.
Yeah, been hearing a little bit about that. I'm glad you wrote about it. That's Catherine Davis, associate editor. It's nice to talk to you again. Thanks for joining us today.
Of course. Thanks, John.
ChicagoWinnow.com. It's 1242 on WGN. So let's go back into the WGN radio newsroom with more business news with Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. McDonald's U.S. sales climbed 4.6% in the third quarter, but dropped 2.2% globally. The company also has announced plans for a new plant-based product called McPlant. Markets will test the burger next year. McDonald's also says it's exploring new express lanes for mobile orders that could include conveyor belts that deliver food. It's also exploring on-the-go restaurant formats, perhaps with no seats. The company says a much-anticipated Big Chicken sandwich will go on sale in the U.S. early next year. Names of Illinoisans are surfacing as possible members of the Biden administration. The Chicago Sun-Times reports the former vice president's senior advisor, Sheila Nix of Oak Park, could be part of the transition team and the new cabinet. Senator Tammy Duckworth is expected to be considered for Defense Department Secretary or the head of Department of Veterans Affairs. Other names mentioned for positions include Ariel Investments President Melody Hobson, Valerie Alexander, a former chief of staff for Dick Durbin, and Claudia Chavez, a one-time staffer for former Mayor Emanuel. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Following the business scene is Amy Guth on the Wintrust Business Lunch, usually following the airlines. Let's start a little bit there, Amy. What are you looking at today?
Yeah, I mean, I think really it's about the ancillary impact of this announcement from Pfizer of the initial test results from a 90% efficacy this vaccine news, right? Because I think a lot of optimism hit the market really, really quickly. So to that, in afternoon trading, United up 19%, American 17%, Delta 16%, Southwest 12%, even Boeing up more than 14%. That's all in afternoon trading. Those are just not numbers we've seen from airlines in quite a while. That industry is pretty sensitive to every single nuance of COVID-related news. The littlest thing, because it's about consumer confidence, about sitting in a plane next to a stranger. So they're particularly sensitive about COVID-related news. And so we saw very quick optimism here. You know, I think it's the prudent thing to do is anytime we talk about this is from Pfizer's announcement, and this even came from some Pfizer board members, Vice President or President-elect Biden said this too, that, hey, it's still a long way off. If you think about the logistics of getting a vaccine around the world and inoculating, there's 7 billion people in the world. Like, that's no easy thing. And I think that's what I'm going to really be looking at, because we have just seen some really record-setting moves on in the market today. But my fear is that that's going to stall out as people kind of have to confront the reality of exactly how long that might take. The Wall Street Journal did some reporting over the summer about logistics, people in leadership positions at logistics firms kind of taking a look at exactly how big of a process that's going to be once you factor in temperature control and remote areas and all that, because most everyone will have to get vaccinated in order for it to be effective, right? So I think a lot of caution there, but unbelievable optimism on the market today with airlines and the aeronautics industry. But also, last week we talked a little bit about AMC Theaters. They're in that same group for the same reason, about consumer confidence, kind of sitting next to a stranger in a public space, just like on a plane. So we saw unbelievable numbers, too, from AMC earlier today, as well as Cinemark Theaters. AMC stock was up as much as 50% following that announcement earlier today. I mean, that's just unbelievable. We haven't seen that. You know, just a week or two ago, we were talking about how AMC was saying, well, you know, we may not make it at the end of the year, and we may file bankruptcy, and we're looking at these, you know, options. We had a lot of debt going into this pandemic, and it's going to get worse. Not that one good day on Wall Street changes that necessarily, but it certainly, I think, you know, just interesting to watch that much investor optimism on the markets today.
Yeah, Cinemark was up 40%, and shortly after it opened, I'm just looking at the numbers now, AMC was up 80%, came down a little bit. You know, Pete Zimmerman, to your point about getting these vaccines around the world, was talking to me off the air about some of that, and showed me a word that I hadn't seen before, or a phrase, freezer farms. I mean, think about that. If this vaccine has got to be stored at 90 degrees below zero, then you need to have places. It can't just be a warehouse. And if it's got to be distributed across the globe, you're going to need all of these touch points where it can stay at that temperature.
That's right. And some experts were, over the summer, I should say, there was a like the big conference of logistics managers. It's like, if you are in the shipping business, you go to this conference. Of course, that was done over Zoom this summer. And that was the big topic of conversation in that conference. And that very thing you just mentioned was such a big point, because they struggled, you know, just getting PPE around the world as best they could. And that was with the luxury of, you know, masks and gowns and gloves and things like that can sit on a tarmac. They can wait and await whatever is going to take them to the next place. In such a tightly climate-controlled environment, if something were to sit on a tarmac too long, it could potentially ruin those vials. So really, there was so much attention paid at that conference to exactly how they would tackle this, probably one of the biggest logistics, you know, issues of our time. And such a major thing at a time when we already have the leadership of FedEx and UPS talking about, hey, for this foreseeable, I needed you to be done with holiday shopping like yesterday. Like, here is a logistics, sector that around the world is already pretty exhausted by everybody moving to online ordering, who now needs to step it up to get this, basically the world inoculated from a pandemic. That is no small thing. And I think that is something we can't talk enough about right now, because it's going to really be the topic as this continues.
Yeah, I should have invested in a company that is involved in logistics, right? Because suddenly they're, I'll bet those kinds of companies are doing well today. I'm looking at the gainers, and Carnival Group is up 35%. Some realty companies are up. Energy companies are up significantly today. Let's leave the markets for a moment and talk about just one company in particular, and that's McDonald's. They've got a new burger, or no, it's what will they call it? Because it's going to be a meatless burger, right, coming out?
Yeah, well, a couple of big pieces of news from McDonald's today. Well, one of them is exactly what you said. There was so much speculation on, hey, all these fast food companies have a meatless option, a plant-based meat option. What's McDonald's going to do? And the big holdup was McDonald's has 14,000 stores in the U.S. So whoever it was had to be able to carry that kind of volume. Everybody was speculating that that was going to be Beyond Meat. They did the test. It was a small test in one area of Canada for McDonald's that they did last year. So all eyes were on Beyond Meat. Well, McDonald's said, nope, we're going to make our own. We're calling it McPlant. What else would they call it? McPlant.
Yeah.
So on that, Beyond Meat shares dropped quite a bit. We saw that reaction because I think so many people were hoping Beyond Meat would get that contract. They're going to be doing a bunch of different products, but they're going to start with a plant-based burger, a burger patty. The other news that they have is, if you recall last summer when everybody was fighting over chicken sandwiches, that was the whole thing, McDonald's was very absent from that game. So there's been a lot of people talking about chicken sandwiches and, hey, where is McDonald's going to go in that? Are they going to get into the spicy chicken sandwich game or not? They've said that they will next year. They're going to, they wanted the right conditions to be just right. So they have said, along with the plant-based burger patty, they're also going to get into the chicken game. But they've also really doubled down on their technology investment, which I think is really interesting because that's helped them keep some pretty good numbers throughout this pandemic. Prior to the pandemic, they were already investing in like contactless technology, those kiosks and things like that, and expanding their drive-through. And we saw that that really, really served them in a very profound way when it came to earnings. And in this year, particularly the third quarter, they were really thriving in a time when, you know, restaurants, just the logistics of restaurants are really kind of a tough thing. We've seen McDonald's do really well, and here they are expanding and doing new things.
I still haven't had one of those Popeye sandwiches yet.
I haven't either. We should go get one.
Well, I'm telling you, because at the time you couldn't get one. And then we were calling around going, can we get one? And then when they got them back, it kind of fell off my radar. And now McDonald's maybe will re-energize the chicken sandwich market. Crazy day today. Good to talk to you. Thanks for your help, Amy.
Thanks so much, John.
Amy Guth, this is the Wintrust Business Lunch.